It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on the journey, as always, with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Really good. Good to see you once again. And hey, this week, a subject that I don't know that we've talked about before. You kind of touch on some of these ideas in some of your shows, but did you come up with the term the fragmented self?
I did.
You did? Okay.
It's probably out there. I've read about, it's Kurt Thompson has a book out on the anatomy of the soul, and he talks about integrated thinking, and for some reason that, you know, fragmented versus integrated. But the thing about the fragmented self came up in a conversation I was having with a person recently where been married for quite a number of years. There's a lot of history, not all of it good in the marriage. And he's wanting to kind of start afresh. The kids are out of the house now. And, it's a time for them to, you know, maybe get another foothold and go into their retirement years and really enjoy life, and they're having trouble figuring out what that would look like. And he's got one view of where they should go, and she doesn't want to go that way. And so his justification for wanting to go that way is he doesn't want to miss out on any more opportunities. So as we were talking, the thing that came to me was this idea that I talked to a lot of men who are either retired or retiring or midlife, you know, quote unquote midlife crisis, but young people too. And it dawned on me that a lot of the mental health issues could really be framed as just what I'm really doing is observing more or less fragmented persons. That is, there isn't a continuity in their life, and for that, of course, I blame the fragmentation of society and values and the family and all of that. And eventually you wind up with fragmented individuals. And now we're on, we have anxiety, depression, shame, fear, all these kinds of things. Because if you picture, as I did when in this conversation with this man, picture taking a road trip and the road that's out ahead of me, what's out ahead of me is how my future lies out in front of me. And then in the rearview mirror are, the life I've already lived. Or another way of thinking of it is that out in front of me are choices to be made. Behind me are choices that I have made. And sometimes not all those choices make sense in the past. And if the narrative of the storyline of my life doesn't make good sense, and that could be things that happened to me as a child or things that I believed for a while and then they turned out not to be true, or things like, for example, I remember my wife and I for years, we're in a church where there was a lot of emotionalism, and it wasn't entirely the fault of the church because we were drawn to it as well, so that was our choice of church. There was a lot of emotionalism, not a lot of doctrinal footing, and during the time that it kind of made some sense to us in that small period of time where we were, but having moved on and looking back several decades later, it's like almost like a kind of a disconnected part of my faith journey, where it's almost like an aberration of someone. Doesn't.
So you look at yourself back then, your faith, that you don't recognize yourself, maybe.
And some people can have things in their past that have been painful experiences, loss. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe it's been growing up in a dysfunctional family where the parents had one rules and the kids had to abide by different rules, or maybe it was a school situation where they were taught one thing at home and taught something else at school, and they just sort of managed to get through it, and they have a lot of question marks. I've talked to people who have a lot of family of origin trauma, things that were beyond their any scope of their control. Say, for example, they grew up in a blended family where they didn't know one of their parents. They had a step parent, or mom or dad had a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Well, that's become more the norm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would think, yeah, we're seeing the fruits of that down the line mm-hmm. here. Yeah, when I was growing up, I remember divorce was very rare. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting some kids when I moved into a neighborhood. My parents were still together. And they were very ashamed of this. And he kept saying, well, we have this secret. We have things going on. I go, yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
He goes, well, my parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. And he was just full of shame about that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it. But, yeah, I guess not that many people were divorcing them. But now it's like so common. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If it was shameful for him, even though it's more common, it's kind of normalized almost mm-hmm. in society, there still does seem to be some kind of break that happens in kids. Kids don't process that
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and the fact that people aren't as embarrassed about it anymore is really more of a commentary on the fall of society
yeah.
than it is on people becoming more healthy about their bad choices.
Right.
Feeling more healthy about yeah. their
So that's certainly one of the most obvious fragmentations that's gone on.
Yeah, and so you can see how, I was just thinking of the book The Shack, and how that was written. The author of that was a man who had been, I believe, sexually abused a lot, and certainly I think he said that by the time he was just a young man, he was considered himself a predator.
Hmm.
I think he said, before his teens. And so him looking back in his life, there was a lot of fragmentation of his person. You know, what am I about? Am I really that monster? Mm. Am I, you know, so a lot of, and what would be needed is something to, some kind of a theme in all of that to make sense. And mm-hmm. of course, as Christians, we immediately think of the gospel and we immediately think of our belief system. But again, there's so much fragmentation in the church, mm-hmm. Even because I was thinking, how many people going to church in any church know the creed of the church that they're attending? And how many pastors actually believe that the creed of the church is important enough that they talk about it on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people grow up with faith experiences that seem to be disconnected in a lot of ways. So
mm-hmm.
so there's kind of a – fragmentation. It's an epidemic in our society, and that's reflected in the growth of the mental health and the psychiatric fields. The fragmentation can result in prone toward anxiety, depression. Of course, all the stuff we see.
You say that's at the root of like OCD problems, mood disorders of all kinds.
Yeah, it is because what we wind up dealing with when we're talking to people with anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive PTSD, mood swings, and those kinds of things is their self image, their assessment of who they are is fundamentally under it, and so you find that they've got a lot of in their past that is fragmented. They don't have a they don't have a theme. For me, my theme would be to look back in my life and recognize God's sovereignty. And even if I didn't understand it in time, I would realize that God is sovereign. And in time, I could see His sovereignty. It would make sense. So there would be some kind of a continuity. But that hasn't always been the case, in my life. A lot of times, I just looked in the rearview mirror and thought, boy, those were really weird times,
mm-hmm.
and very painful, hurtful times without trying to, and then just try to, keep a stiff upper lip and try to, be positive in that, but mm-hmm. The stuff always haunting.
Well, you say here, too, strong family-based, community-based societies have had much less mental illness and associated illnesses.
Yeah.
So would that be like third world countries oftentimes have poverty and different things, but they got strong families and they don't have time for mental illness.
Yeah. Well, there's actually some truth in that.
Well,
the therapy for depression before this pharmaceutical boom, the therapy for depression was work.
There you go.
when people were busy, colloquialisms like the idle mind is the devil's playground.
Right.
Those colloquialisms, they spoke some truth. It was And of course, we get the picture a lot of times that things like anxiety and depression are beyond the scope of our faith. These are things that God didn't reckon when he created man. He didn't realize that there was going to be depression and anxiety. But if we look at the scripture carefully, we find that it's all through there. You know, David said, you know, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And then he goes to, hope thou in the Lord. You know, we see depression and anxiety in there. It's in that Psalms that I just alluded to. David looks back to a continuity in his life and says, well, here's what makes sense of all that. But yeah, you do find that it's more blurred now, I think, because it's hard to find a continent or a nation on the earth that isn't touched by Western society. Sure. And the idea of...
It'd be interesting to do a study, though, just to see the societies have the least problems, at least reported problems of mental illness and a need for a lot of counseling and stuff. I would think it would be more third world countries where strong families... A lot of Latin countries in South America. I mean,
You speak of the Latin. There was a study done. The name of the book was "The Broken Heart: Medical Consequences of Loneliness." The author was James Lynch. I'm kind of doing a lisp here this morning. James Lynch, and he did a study. There was a lot of premature death following between the First World War and Second World War. And they did lots of studies trying to find out, was it cigarettes, was it pasta, you know, what was it, you know. And one of the things that they, a piece of information that they overlooked at the beginning, and then he went back later, decades later, to relook at it, they never did find the solution. But that's when the warning went on cigarette packages and that kind of thing was a result of that research. But they weren't, there wasn't really anything conclusive, but one of the things that he concluded in a follow-up research with a team of people was that there was it was a little Italian town, I think it was Freeville or Free something, up in upstate New York, where they were Italian, ate a lot of pasta, and had very long life, so it sort of broke all the, it sort of cut against a lot of the things they were finding. But one of the things that they found when they visited this village was, people didn't move out of the village very often. It was very family oriented. They
probably had meals together
The family roots went really deep, and so he wrote this an entire book on the medical consequences of loneliness. And so it doesn't just touch on mental health, but physical health and a lot of things like that. I find that this also possibly follows prosperity, this fragmentation where individual wants become preferences over community needs, and so the individual becomes the center of meaning rather than for the individual to live external values or a cause. So the one's life, one lives to fulfill desires of kind of the ambiguous and ever-changing self. You kind of try to finish the picture of who I am. So I become the center, and since I am always changing, it's problematic, you know. And this happens in probably follows prosperity, where, as you were alluding to earlier, where countries and times in previous years, where life was more about meeting the needs of the community, a person could look back generations later and see continuity because the whole community was sort of on the same track. And it was the old Hebrew tradition, you know, about the principles and the purposes are written everywhere, and everyone's taught generation after generation after generation, so there's a continuity. The breakdown of that has led to, the breakdown of, what I'm calling the fragmentation of the person.
Okay, talking about the fragment itself this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If this sounds like maybe something that is contributing to some problems in your own life, your own mental health, or your family's health, Daniel would love to maybe have a session with you. You have offices in...
Edmonds and Kirkland.
Edmonds and Kirkland.
Phone number, 425-778-6169, 778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey once again today with Daniel Pryor, talking about the fragmented self this week, a term that you've kind of coined, Daniel, in your practice.
Until I find it elsewhere.
It comes up a lot, the source of a lot of the problems that we see.
It's another way of looking at just a person with, just kind of a frustrated self-image, and which is really at the root of a lot of the anxiety, depression, OCD, mood disorders. A lot of those things can actually very easily be framed in terms of a fragmented person, a fragmented self. So trying to bring some continuity to that, some integration to the person. We were just left off at how that fragmentation of the individual follows from fragmentation of society. And something along these lines, probably, if we looked back through the history of this, would be first something like separation from God. God, of course, is the author of life and the sole resource of the meaning of life, and so that separation was pretty costly. So if we look back over life to try to find meaning, if we've separated ourselves from the source of that meaning, we have some work to do. And secondary to that, and caused by that, and then secondarily is the dehumanization of mankind, beginning, of course, with the frustration of and the division between the man and the woman. That relationship was instituted to keep us human. And misunderstanding, if you look at cultures where that relationship is the most frustrated, or another way to say it for me would be where, speaking from a man's perspective, where women are mistreated most, or the feminine voice isn't heard or respected, then you find cultures that are more totalitarian, cruel, barbaric, things like that, primitive.
Well, this is interesting, though. I mean, the obvious kind of society that comes to mind, at least initially, is Islamic countries where women are very much subjugated, and they would say that they're protecting women, but on the outward, at least, they seem to quite often run pretty well. Everyone knows their place, but you're saying there's still a lot of fragmentation, a lot of problems behind the scenes.
Well, that was a good question. I was going to bring out down here that even, and I could just probably just do it now, that the people are drawn toward Islam, regrettably. Some people are drawn toward Islam and even ritualistic cults.
There's a lot of order.
Because there's an order. So even if it's wrong, it does deal with the fragmentation, in some sense.
But in an unhealthy way.
Okay. And it tends toward cruelty and things like that instead of the truth that we as Christians recognize leads it, you know, it's going toward being peaceable with all men, respecting all mankind. Man and woman equal, et cetera.
And societies that have a Christian foundation are the ones where people have flourished the most. But of course, with all that freedom comes some excess and some problems.
Because we start, the choices that we have and the reasons that we choose. Again, we put the individual above the community and get the cart before the horse.
When you say on your third point, that would tend toward materialism and individualism instead of a community.
Yeah, that would be a third. And then lastly, the fragmentation of the individual. So you see a general fragmentation of society, and then the individual is a product of society. So you have the fragmentation of the individual. Now we talk the integrated person.
How to fix this?
Yeah. So, integrated person is a person. If you can imagine yourself as feeling safe, secure, confident, that would be this would be a person who is more likely to look back on their past and see the sovereignty of God, or look back on their past and see some reason to it, and see how that things, even, you know, the good or the bad. And there's a scripture that says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Even the bad things are working together for the good and for God's purpose. And so an integrated person would be able to look back and see even the pain in their life. I'm thinking right now of people. There are fewer and fewer of them all the time, but survivors of the death camps in the Second World War, and now we have a whole other situation: survivors of genocide today, who are able to look back and actually see the sovereignty of God, even in all that pain.
Amazing.
A person that can't do that is going to suffer greatly from mental. Disorder, mental disturbance. A person who can look back and find that calm in the storm and can be what I would refer to as a more integrated. Integration requires a life to have continuity and cohesion. Even this maybe explains to us why we see possibly some growth in fundamental churches now, because of the they have more of an order and a tradition. And I'm thinking of people who I know who have spent years in the charismatic church, more charismatic churches, and they've been drawn either to Seventh-day Adventist, or they've been drawn to Anglican or Episcopal.
I was going to say Anglican with more ritual and
or
creeds.
Eastern Orthodox, the belief system, it doesn't seem to be something other than the quote-unquote worship service,
right.
Or you sort of have to look between the lines in the worship service to find what does the church actually believe. But with these other—
Well, I think that's a healthy change, movement toward more orthodoxy.
And then, as I said, too, maybe it explains, I think, also some people, fragmented people, preferring Islam and ritualistic cults to the fragmentation.
That's the total extreme of that.
Moving toward integration, I think for either an individual or a society would require these things, maybe in this order. Certainly, it would require a fundamental belief. And that is truth, not just beliefism, not just things to temporarily hold on to, because that's part of the fragmentation problem. But truth that brings continuity through life, for all the things that can be said that the harshness of Calvinism, at least he had a systematic theology that he taught to all of the community, and they lived according to those things. So they, and generation after generation, a belief is fundamental. We need to get back to our Creator. And we need to get back to—
Big part of this, too, is community over the individual.
Community over the individual. Mm-hmm. Community, not collectivism, but actually community. This is not showing up for a work day at the church or a heart-healthy walk or something, and then the people remain strangers other than that. This would be inviting people over for dinner and actually getting to know people and forming relationships. The next one is— after a community over the individual, others before self. I think that's really fundamental to joy and meaning in life. If I'm using myself always as the lens, it just seems that we just continue in confusion. We're not going to find that continuity and congruence of life if I use myself as the lens. So. We were designed saved to serve. We were designed to serve. It was relationship is putting others first. And then finally, personal relationships. So these are like skimming across the top, and certainly what I have not done here is outline a help yourself formula for getting better. That's what counseling is about. But it's another way of looking at it, the idea of getting a sound mind and getting mentally healthy is in large the process of pulling together the fragmentation of the past or the person's life story, and seeing how that it does make sense if you look at it through the right lens. and look at it in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting discussion this week, the fragmented self. If this describes a condition maybe you're struggling with as you listen today, I think this is something we all struggle with, as we've alluded to during the program, with Western culture. Maybe it's more pronounced in your life, and you need some help. You need to have some guidance maybe to sort through some of these issues. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, he works with people on, you say this is kind of the underlying diagnosis for most of the issues that you see.
I think it's a way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do think it's a way of looking at it.
Well, if people need help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169, 778-6169, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And you have a lot of your previous broadcasts
and
on that, too.
The podcasts are also there, yeah.
At BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff. Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.